Like, oh, the other button. It accidentally moved. Some little critter did it. Jeez. Thank you, guys. I'm not a professional, really. Did you ever notice that? Oh, gosh. Amen. Hey, Lane, can you pop up the pictures about books? Give me a thumbs up when it's up. Thank you. All right. So the Lord's put on my heart a couple months ago, and I finally got around to doing it. Last week, we started a series about words. Words. And interesting enough that God decided that words was going to be the way how he created the universe, the world. He also decided that words were going to be the way how we could come into his kingdom. And he also decided that words would be how he grows us. All right, so these are some books that are in our bookstore. I have read probably all but one. No, I think I read them all. All right, so get your camera out, take a picture, because you won't remember, and go into a bookstore. There's also one that's not up there. How many read Charles Capps, The Tongue, The Creative Force? Yeah, and we sold out on that. It's just an excellent book. So these are some other things besides coming to church and listening to Pastor D, okay? All right, so today is week two on our series about words, and if you're taking notes, you can write this down. This is our title, Changing Our Words, Changing Our Words. And it's kind of got a twofold meaning. So basically, one, we can change our words, and then our words can help change others. So we can change our words, and then funny thing happens. You know, our words actually change others, all right? Next week, we're going to talk about words that we speak that change our life. And then we're going to also talk about the following week, or wait, we got Christmas. So over there, words that we can speak that are actually weapons. So we're really digging into this word thing, all right? So has this ever happened to you? Okay, now I grew up in a neighborhood like this with tons of kids. The average family had 5 kids. They're all good Catholics, all right? So tons of kids, and we lived at the top of the street. At the bottom of the street was a park, so we would go down to the park. You could just send your kids down there randomly with nobody watching. Amazing, right? What a generation. So we'd send our kids down to the park. We're down the park, and we decide we're going to play kickball. So they always have 2 teams, right? And it's usually the best athlete is the captain of this team, and the best athlete is the captain of that team. And the rest of us stand in the middle, and it's picking time, right? And one goes, I'll take her. The other one goes, I'll take her. And the other one goes, pick, pick, pick. And I am the last one. Okay, and then somebody yells out, oh no, she's like slow as a turtle. We're never gonna win. Ah. So that was me, and that was my brother. Thank you very much. Talk about self-image at a young age, okay? And then has this ever happened to you? I got called into the teacher's office. This is after I had stayed up all night, this is in college, doing some lovely project. And I won't say if I procrastinated why I had to stay up all night, because I don't really remember. But I had to stay up all night to finish this project. And that morning, she calls me into the office. And she goes, you know, I have been looking over your grades and all your records. And, you know, honey, you know, I really don't think you're college material. Don't you agree? Has that ever happened to anybody? Just me. Talk about another blow to your self-image. And at that point, I, nice words, Pastor D, I actually hated that lady. I wanted to claw her eyes out. Only thing, she was the head of the department that I was under. So I just, every time, and I started a nickname for her, which is not very nice. But I just, this thing bubbled up, this anger. And I have to say, it took me a couple of years. So I finally met Jesus, and a couple of the years for the Lord go, time to deal with this, D, and forgive this lady. And, you know, interesting enough, she'd already passed away. I was like, okay. So, anyway, so I want to talk about the power of our words, the power of our words, all right? And, guys, our words can either pour life into people, or our words can just smash them, push them down, just death and negative stuff into them, all right? So I have a main idea that you're going to hear over and over and over and over, because I need repetition, and probably you do too. All right, so this is what it is. I actually kind of stole it from a commercial, which you're probably aware of, all right? So the main idea, they're going to pop it up here. It goes like this. Our words can produce mayhem. Anybody know that commercial? Or, good, or our words can produce life, okay? So the commercials, and those insurance commercials, like that little green guy, the Geico guy, he's not my favorite. He's kind of creepy with big eyes and stuff like that. Some people think he's adorable, but Flo, the commercial with Flo, I just like Flo. I would like, she'd be a buddy with me. We would just, you know, but the mayhem man from Allstate, I mean, the guy's like, he's wearing a suit, it's tore up, he's got stitches, band-aids, dirty, and he's, you know, just walking in. And there's one particular commercial with the mayhem man. There's this gentleman, he's driving in his car, and the mayhem man, he's down here like this, sitting right next to him, and he's the GPS, and he's causing him to get into all kinds of accidents, right? And I just laugh. Now, probably shouldn't be laughing, okay, but he just cracks me up, the mayhem man, and basically he's causing problems for your home and in your auto, and then he goes and he says, hey, insurance could be your solution, all right? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have a policy that would just help us with all our words? Well, there's not, but there is an answer. So we're going to talk about mayhem. So again, ready? You can, your words can cause mayhem, right? Your words can cause mayhem. And like that mayhem, guys, your words can mess up people's lives, right? And will mess them up big and just really not be edifying and stuff like that. And also, sometimes your words can just sort of be like blah. And blah is not good. Such as, let's just say we're hanging, no, somebody else. Okay, let me look this way. Nobody over here. So we're hanging out and we have this conversation and then this person leaves and you think, you know, I really like them. But man, I just do not feel good after hanging out and listening to them. Matter of fact, it's just been a blah. I feel yucky. Nobody knows anybody like that, right? Somebody else, right? So, our words can cause mayhem. Really negative things and then some blah things, okay? But the second part, this is where we're going to end up. That's the positive part. The second part is our words can produce life. Our words can produce life, all right? So it's what I'm really saying is, hey, your words can be spoken and lift people up. Your words can just bring people up higher, all right? So we're going to be talking about what's going on with our mouth and the power of our words. Can't figure a good transition, so I'm just going to start here. So I read this years ago. We were doing a couple of marriage retreats here, and I was just plowing through what every woman wants a man to know, what every man wants a woman to know, and this and that, and reading all these books. And this, I wrote this down. I've kept this piece of paper for years, and this is what I learned. Somebody else said it, but listen to this. The majority, everybody say majority. Okay, now start smiling at me. The majority of men speak 25,000 words a day. I can do this. And the majority of women speak, you get it, 50,000 words a day. Okay, now some men speak 50,000 words. And some women speak only 25,000 words, okay? But the majority of men speak 50,000 words a day. I am seeing smirks all over the place. This is so cute. I might have to look at my notes here, okay? So ladies, have you ever gone to your husband maybe late at night or, you know, you've put the kids to bed or you cleaned up and you are all ready to say, tell him about something that needs to be talked about, and then you look in his face, and he's kind of got this glassy look, and you're like, this might have to wait till tomorrow, because I can tell he used his 25,000 words. Done. And your husband goes, honey, tomorrow. I have no more words, all right? So, actually, Jack and I are the opposites. I am the majority woman. I speak less. He needs to talk more. But anyway, so guys, So guys speak 25,000 words a day, the majority. So how about y'all make every one of those words count? Amen, Pastor D, preach it. Come on. And women, you speak 50,000, so you have more opportunities to have your words count. Amen? You should be nudging one another right now, okay? So, again, men, the majority of men speak 25,000 words a day, and the majority of women speak 50,000 words a day. So how about this? How about you can either bring life to people, or you can be the mayhem, okay, where it's negative and putting people down. How many of you want to bring life to people with your 25 or 50,000 words? Amen. Press. Okay. So I'm going to read a scripture to you. It's most of you probably have heard of it. It is actually kind of negative. And you know, God actually puts scriptures that point out negative for us. And then he's got tons more that have positive. And we'll eventually get to the positive. So this is, you know, just hang on there. You can tighten up right now. This is sort of negative, what it's pointing out. So open up to the book of James. It's at the end of your Bible. James chapter 3, verse 2. James chapter 3, verse 2. All right? We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what he says is perfect. A friend of mine used to say this, and I thought this is so cool. He said, I should hang a big sign in our church: no perfect people allowed here. Okay? Because there's only one perfect person. Who is that? The Lord Jesus. And I'm aiming that way, but you know, so we're going to make boo-boos here, all right? So anyway, so we all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what he says is perfect. And perfect, now listen to this part, able to keep their whole body in check. Able to keep their whole body in check. So I was thinking about this, and you ought to write this down. The degree that we control the words out of our mouth is the degree that we can control this body. When I say body, I don't mean physical. I mean everything that goes on. So the degree that you can control these words out of your mouth will be the degree that you are going to control everything else in your life, all right? Now, jump down to verse 6. Verse 6, here we go. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil amongst the parts of the body. That's talking about our body, all right? It corrupts the whole body. All right, so that's us and everybody else, all right? Sets the whole course of one's life on fire. That's pretty terrible. That's bad, all right? And is itself set on fire by hell. Okay, so this is what it means. Y'all know the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Raise your hand if you're the brethren. Okay, he is out accusing y'all, okay? And if we don't watch the words that we speak out of our mouth, he will have you speaking words that you are just putting people down. He'll even have you speak words out of your mouth where you're just bringing yourself down, okay? So watch out. Now, jump down to verse 7, here we go. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. I remember the first time I went to this big circus, and there was this guy that got in a cage with this huge tiger. And I thought, he must have tamed him if he got in the cage with him, right? Because nobody with their right mind would do that. I remember that as a little girl going, oh, yeah. So we can tame animals, all right? So let's keep reading. The creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the what? The tongue. All right. So all of God is saying is, y'all are going to need some help with this thing. Okay? Y'all going to need some help with this baby, because this baby can let loose. Right? Anybody ever let loose with this thing? Right? Okay? So that's all he's saying, all right? And so we're going to need some help to tame this baby here called our tongue. And I've watched a lot of you do this. And matter of fact, this is sort of what we talked about last week. If you're taking notes, just jot this down. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Our words are impacted by the amount of God's word, what? We place inside of us. We talked about this last week, and we said that if you start placing God's word in your life, daily. Like, how many of you brush your teeth every morning? Lord, maybe I should have picked something else, okay? Okay, you got in a habit, all right? You got in a habit. How about you get in the habit of reading your Bible every morning, okay? You know, now, some people tell me they wait till the end of the day, but I find out I can do a lot of damage if I wait till the end of the day, so I start my day, right? Just a cute little tidbit here, okay? So, and then last week we also said so about reading your Bible, and then we go, hey, Google, I am struggling in this area. Give me a bunch of scriptures. And Google, you know, Google starts spitting them out. And we said, how about you take one of those scriptures that maybe you've got some things going on with your body, or maybe you've got some anger going on, or maybe you've got some whatever, and you take one of those scriptures, and every day you say it in the morning, in the afternoon, okay? So, again, our words are impacted by how much we place the Word of God inside of us, so. Okay, really. Now, it is going to take some effort, okay? Like, I have to tame my tongue. Okay, funny story. I have to change the names, okay? So this particular young mom had been talking to their little girl, don't say that word. And, you know, it's really funny. It wasn't a cuss word. It was like, you're stupid, and in their house, that is a bad word. So this mom has been talking to this three-year-old, don't say that. And next thing, the mom's walking, and she hears the little girl, you're stupid. And the mom says, that's it. You're getting your mouth washed out with soap. Did anybody ever have their mouth washed out with soap? Nowadays, nobody's got bar soap. So she goes to the squirt pump and puts it on there, and then you hear crying, and then the mom says, now what did you, no bad words. Okay, just thought you needed a little funny story, okay, but words, okay, because you have to, God's not going to wash your mouth out with soap. We have to tame what this, okay, but you need some soap, let me know, okay? All right, turn over to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, here we go. We're talking about words. By the way, this is Jesus. This is not Granny, this is not your mom, this is not me. This is Jesus talking, all right? And we're talking about words, all righty? Okay, here we go. Luke 6:45. A good man brings good things of the good stored in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So whatever you're filling up on, right? Whatever you're filling up on, whatever you most focus on, that's going to come out of your mouth. It's going to come out of your mouth, all right? Now, there's certain things, I mean, there's some non-biblical things that you do need to focus on. If you're a student and you're in school, you need to be studying. Please focus on that, right? If you work at a job, please focus on that. That's good, all right? But we want to make sure what we're filling up on, what we're focused on, is going to really affect what comes out of our mouth. Let me tell you a story, a true story. So my girlfriend's husband, it was a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. He's got the coat, he's got the t-shirt, he's got the mug, he's got the bumper sticker. He's just a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. And so much so that that's what he meditates on all the time. He knows every player, what college they went to, okay? He knows their statistics for doing this and that and this and that. Of course, I don't know what the this and that's are, but if you got near him and you just hinted and said the word football, he was in your face telling you all about the statistics about every player on the football team, okay? So that's my friend, and they were young, and they get married, and about a month later, she goes, honey, enough of the Steelers, okay? We can talk about some other things. In other words, you need to change some of your focus because there are other things we can talk about. All right? Again, whatever you're filling up on, whatever you're focused on, if it's negative, if it's, especially, none of you ever do this. Somebody did you dirty, somebody just messed in your yard, okay? And you loop on it. You know how I know you loop on it? Because that's all you talk about. Negative, negative, negative about the loop. The loop's negative, the negative, negative, negative. And that's all that comes out of you. So, wink, wink, if you are looping, you might have to knock it off, okay? Focus on something else. And there's lots of good. Pastor Sherry was just encouraging us one before we got to the word part on that too. Okay, so whatever you fill up with, good or bad, is going to flow out of you, all righty? Last week we talked about what if we flood ourselves with the word of God, right? So listen to this, Proverbs. Proverbs 16, 23. What if you filled up on the word of God? Proverbs 16, 23. A wise person. How many of you would like to be a wise person? Like, wouldn't you like to say, oh man, they are so wise. Okay, well, here's what you do. Ready? A wise person's heart controls its speech, okay? And what he says helps others. A wise person's speech controls, a wise person's heart controls his speech, and what he says helps others. Okay, so if you are filling up with the word of God, just daily. You know, some days I have 15 minutes because I overslept, okay? But most of the time, I've got 30 minutes. Now, I don't have little kids anymore, okay? That was a whole different story. I'd lock myself in the bathroom just to get 10 minutes to read my Bible back in the day. And then some little kid would put their fingers underneath there, Mommy, Mommy, okay? But, I you know, this is a lot easier now. So anyway, where was I? Okay, yeah. So what if you fill up on the word of God? Every day, daily, guess what? The words are going to come out of your mouth are going to be words that are good and words that help people, words that lift people up, okay? Real simple. Now, the second part of that is then you're going to be able to control your tongue. If you got this coming in, this coming in, this coming in, this is filling you up, this is filling, then you're going to be able to control your tongue. Or better yet, the Bible scripture was tame. Tame your tongue. Everybody say, tame your tongue. All right. Now you can't do it. You can do it to a degree, okay? But you can't do it by yourself. Excellent. But listen, I want to tell you, after decades of doing this, man, the potty mouth that I had long, long time ago is kind of really, not once I dropped something. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. I'd been doing this for like 30 years because that was the Sunday. I was downstairs and I was walking backwards and I tripped over the stool and I fell. And Stacy's little twins, they were little, they were probably like not even in kindergarten, were standing there and I hit the ground and I said, oh, Jesus. I was so happy that I had been filling up myself with the word of God that morning, because decades before would have been something else. Okay, so, amen. So, here's one of my favorite scriptures, and y'all know it when we talk about words. Anybody want to guess what it is? It's found in the wink, wink, Old Testament, wink, wink, okay? All right, well, I'm going to read it because y'all know this scripture out of the Message Bible. So open up to Proverbs 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. Yeah, you know it. You know it, girl. Okay, Proverbs 18:21. Words kill, words give life. So what does it say in the King James? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Y'all have heard that before? But the Message Bible, this is so good. Words kill. Words give life, all right? They're either poison or fruit. This is the kicker. You choose. Look at your neighbor and say, you choose. Yeah, you choose, right? All right. Now, today we would have said, words are poison, or words are sweet. This is for all the men, once a month, men's prayer. If we have a Dunkin' Donut cream-filled chocolate glaze, those are sweet. My words are sweet. I hear they eat a lot of donuts down there, right, Mark? But Matt, I heard you cook something. Besides donuts? Thank you. It's okay, okay. All right, so our words can be sweet, whatever you want, a piece of fruit or a donut, just compare it to that. Our words can be sweet, or our words can be like the mayhem, and they are negative, and they put people down, and they just do negative, 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 okay? So that would be poisonous, all right? Now, so we have to choose, because I like that, you choose. We have to choose what our words are going to do. Are they going to build ourselves up? Are they going to be positive? And what are they doing to other people, all right? So I thought of just one more thing I wanted to deal with. Well, not really the one more thing. I got two more, but one more thing I want to deal with, okay? And I realize in this service there might be just one person, maybe two, that this applies to. And I just thank you all that you're just going to let me and you just grin and bear it, okay? Because there's probably only one, maybe two people that this deals with, okay? Put your seatbelts on. Ready? Write this down. We must avoid gossip. I know, maybe one, two people in here, not the rest of us, right? Gossip. All right, so if you need a definition of gossip, you can copy this down. Gossip is revealing people's faults. Gossip is revealing their shortcomings. Y'all smiling so good today. All right, so this reminds me of a story that I heard. And it still cracks me up. It may not. So there's three preachers that are in a boat. They're going to go fishing. They're going to hang out all day. So they're fishing. They're hanging out. And all of a sudden, they have a God moment. Like, God moves on them. Okay? So the first guy is a Baptist preacher. And you know, God has just moved on him. And he says, you know, guys, I want to share something with you that I'm struggling with. And I really need your prayers. Okay? So could you please pray for me? Because I struggle in this area. Looking at girly movies or magazines, okay? So this is the Baptist preacher's fessing up one area he struggled. And then the Catholic priest goes, oh, yeah, we're going to pray for you. And then the Catholic priest is thinking, well, you know, I should kind of be a little transparent too. And he says, well, you know, if I have to be honest, I really do struggle with nipping the bottle, you know, because I serve Mass every day and sometimes a couple times, and I think I have a problem just kind of the wine, right? So the Baptist preacher says to the Catholic preacher, oh yeah, we're going to pray for you. And then they look at the third guy in the boat, and that's a Pentecostal preacher. And he hasn't said anything, all right? And so they go, hey, buddy, you know, what about you? And he goes, oh yeah, you know, I really struggle with gossip, and I can't wait to get off of this boat, baby. I don't know. I laugh every time I hear it. So sorry. If you didn't, you know, sometimes you got to laugh. We are talking about gossip, all right? Okay, gossip, all righty? So I wrote this down. Ready? This is why we should deal with gossip, okay? The lost and dying can't hear the gospel through our gossip. The lost and dying will not be able to hear the gospel message if we're a bunch of gossipers, okay? So that's kind of a good reason to overcome gossip, because you're sharing your testimony, what Jesus did in your life, and you're one of those gossipers around them all the time. They're just like, nope, yep, okay. So good reason. All right, turn over to Proverbs. We're a lot in Proverbs. Proverbs 26. Here we go. Proverbs 26. We're talking about avoiding gossip. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Here we go. Without wood, a fire goes out. Though I need to explain that. Well, I think you all got that one right. Without wood, a fire goes out. But this is the next part. Without a gossip, a quarrel. Thank you. I think it's a coffee. Hallelujah. Coffee dies down. Okay, so gossip will put wood on the fire, and you will do damage to your relationships. Amen? It's not a good amen. That's a negative amen, okay? So gossip, we want to watch that, all right? So our words can cause mayhem, or our words can cause life. Praise God. I like the life part, all right? Now, I love Proverbs 17:9. Ready? Proverbs 17:9. One who conceals an offense seeks love. One who repeats a matter. Oh, does that sound like gossip? You know, revealing someone's faults and boo-boos and mistakes, right? Okay, so one who repeats a matter separates and closes friends, all right? So I like the first part. One who conceals somebody's faults. That's love. And the Bible talks about love. They got a whole chapter on love, all right? So that's really important that we walk in love. So concealing someone's faults. But, okay, now I'm going to put the button here. But there are times that you need to tell people about a fault, such as you find out someone's a pedophile, right? You need to tell authorities, right? Okay, and things like that. So, yes, love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers, you know, and doesn't gossip. But there are times that you need to tell the right people something that's bad that's going on. Okay? You're okay. So I have a story. This happened probably the first couple years that, and nobody's here that knows the name of this person. So just turn your brain off and listen, okay? So this is a true story. So this lady came up to Jack after service, and she said, "Hey, Pastor Jack, can I talk to you?" And he goes, "Sure, come on over here." And I always laugh. "Come on over here to my chair. We'll just sit away from everybody." She says, "I thought you'd like to know that this gentleman in our church is having an affair with this lady in our church." Okay? And Jack says, "Yeah, thank you. Thank you for telling me that." So Jack's going to go talk to this guy. You talk about a tough conversation. Some of you squirm when you had to talk about the birds and the bees with your kids. Okay, this is tough. So he sees the guy, and he says, "Hey, can I talk to you?" And he goes, "Like, yeah, sure." And he says, "Now listen, I don't know if this is true, but this lady," and he gives the name of this, okay? You need to know that part. "This lady says that you are having an affair. You're married, and you're having an affair with another lady in our church," and he named the so-and-so, okay, the lady, and thank goodness the guy just immediately hung his head, and he goes, "Yes, it's true," okay, all right, and so that's really good. So that's kind of tells me repentance. Yes, it's true. Part one of repentance, okay? Sometimes that's like, repentance, I got caught, but there's more to it. So, but this is the part that I'm like, are you kidding me? So here Jack has said, "Hey, it has been so-and-so said that you're having an affair with so-and-so in the church," and he goes, "Yes, it's true." And then he turns around this guy and he goes, "I can't believe sister whatever her name is a gossip and told you about that." And Jack, now I'm going to make it nicer words. He goes, "Whoa, buddy." Listen, she would be a gossip if she told you, and everybody in the church. But she didn't do that. She went to me first and said this. And the reason why is because you are causing a problem with your wife. And you are now also causing a problem with this woman's husband. And she told me this so I can help you be set free, okay? So I will put a little tiny aster. I was the only other person that knew about this because we are one, and we did a lot of praying about this situation, okay? So why do I tell you that story? You know, so the scripture over there says, "One who conceals an offense seeks love." But there are some things that you need to tell authorities, all right? You need to tell the authorities so it can get worked out. That's just one of them, okay? So I don't want you to think that you hide every, you know, bad thing that's going on. You got to pray about it and, you know, what do I do with this information? Always pray. And I want to tell you this, when we found out about this gentleman, we spent prayer and fasting about this, okay? Because it could have blown up a department. Okay. So moving right along, smile everybody, go back to Proverbs 17:9 again. "One who conceals an offense seeks love, but one who repeats a matter separates and closes a friendship," okay? So we don't want our words to cause mayhem, we want our words to be producing life, amen, all right. Let's go positive, Pastor D, you ready to go positive? Okay, positive, the power of positive words, all right, power of positive words, all right. So I don't know, all you that are young in my generation, I don't know if you other babies don't know this, but did you ever grow up and you knew what? "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me." Okay. Anybody young never hear that before? Yeah, you all heard of it. Okay. I thought, man, that's a good one. Okay. So we all know this. And really, it's not true. But I thought about it. It's partially true because sticks and stones will break your bones. So let me tell you a story. I am one of six kids. I have a twin brother and then siblings down here, 2 boys, 4 girls. And my mom swore that she was on first name basis at the emergency room. She's like, she'd walk in and they go, hey, Barbara, what happened now? Okay. She would tell that. She would laugh. She was, someone was getting stitches or, you know, I think I broke both wrists, my sister, legs, shoulders, just, you know, something like that. So one day, my brothers are running around the neighborhood and somebody must have had some construction on their house because they were lumber laying around. So these boys, this is before Star Wars, okay, but they start swinging swords. And you know, they're just going at it. And there's like about eight boys. And next thing I know, my mom says she's throwing Patrick, my little brother, in the car. He's hanging onto his arm. He ended up with a hairline fracture. Somebody must have whacked him. Okay, boys will be, right? So, what am I doing with this here? So, sticks and stones can break your bones, okay? But words can hurt worse. Everybody say worser. Words can hurt worse, okay? So we want to make sure words are positive, healing words, not just tearing people apart. So turn over to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12. Woo, turn my page here. Dun, 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 dun. Proverbs 12, 18. Oh, this is, I like this. The words of the reckless pierce like swords. We just talked about it. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise brings healing. That's what we're talking about. Your words can be mayhem or your words can pour life, but the tongue of the wise bring healing, all right? Now, this particular scripture really is talking about emotional healing, And we, it is tough out there. There are hurting people for certain and worse than probably what your little story is or my little story, my brother not picking me. Saying things, okay? So we want to make sure that our words bring healing to people. And it's not hard. Really, it's not hard, okay? Praise God. Oh, I like this. You know, I like every scripture, but I really like the book of Ephesians. So turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Praise God. Ephesians 4, 29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. So that word corrupt is not about cuss words, though it kind of could get in the category, all right? But the word corrupt, it means rotten, useless words, words that don't benefit. Okay, so I'm going to say this is just me personally, and it's probably a lot as my personality, but I get around sarcastic people. I think that's, put your hand down. All right? I think that falls into corrupt words. I think, no, because I think you're on thin ice. All right? Because, we'll get to the bottom of this, but it's words that don't benefit. So that's just me. And secondly, half the time I don't understand your sarcasm. I'm just sitting there like, huh? Okay? So it's just me. This is me. This is me. This is not the Bible. Okay? But I just, 2 cents. There you go. All righty. So, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Okay, that word let means you need to make a mental decision. Lord, I am not today not going to let negative words, put down words, sarcasm, come out of my mouth today. Okay? So, let means you decide to do that. All right? Now, even though we all fill up with the word of God, I can let some things out of my mouth. So can you, all right? So even though we're filling up with the word of God, we can just let this tongue go do some things. So I am going to make a decision every morning. I've been working on this for 40 years. I'm a lot better. But I will go, Lord, help me not to, help me, I go positive, help me to always have words that help people, that heal people, that are positive words. Okay? So you ought to try that before you put your feet on the floor in the morning. Go, Father God, this is tomorrow morning, Monday, and I thank you that I make a decision and I ask you to help me that my words are positive words, okay? And tell me what happens, all right? So let's read that again. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Okay, in case you don't know what should come out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. And edification means to build someone up, to bring life into them. Okay, and the last part says that it may impart grace to the hearers. So I want us to make a decision. My words are going to bring life to people. My words are going to heal people. My words are going to lift people up. That's all I'm asking. That's all it's saying. All right? Now, you guys need, okay, I always say, instead of you, me. Okay, we need to do this with our kids. Because, you know, kids one to another, they can be mean to one another. My brother, can you imagine he said that to me? He said a lot worse things to me, too, but I love him. He's so cute. Okay, but so how about we work on, how about we are conscious about our words out of our mouth for our kids? Because other kids have said things to them. Other teachers have said things to them. Other people have said things to them. So how about we are conscious speaking words of life to our kids? So now, this is air Dee Dee's laundry all week. Okay, all morning. Okay, so when I just had Sherry and Jesse, I was just really into correcting, okay? Oh my gosh, you guys are so bad. Oh my gosh, I can't believe what you did. I told you to clean your rooms. What are you, a bunch of piggies? Oink, oink, oink. Okay, I was into correcting a lot. Correcting, okay? And then I had this dear friend. She was an older woman. She had, she really became someone who, she just saw dumb and took me underneath her wing, really. She just said, oh, this young pastor's wife, she needs some help. So she took me under her wing. So we had a relationship. I'm going to say this again. You have to have a relationship, okay? You may think you have the relationship, but you have to have the relationship. And she heard me one day just going at it, correcting my kids. Thank goodness I only had two kids to do damage on, okay? And she said, Dee, you know, there's a better way of doing that. And I go, I think it's working fine. She goes, really? How about, I said, my parents did that. They corrected me all over the place. And then probably their parents did that. She goes, really? You think? Now, I know your parents loved you, but there is a better way of doing this with your kids. And then I can tell you where I was. And she said, don't you ever say a kid is bad. I was like, what? She goes, there are no bad kids. What they do is not good, okay? Just like us, okay? She says, but you never say that's a bad kid. I was like, wow, I remember that like yesterday, okay? So she just took me under the wing, and she'd watch me, and then she'd pull me in, reel me in, and she very kindly would say this, this, and this. But here's the other thing, and it kind of goes on, and if you want to write this down. She says, we need to look past someone's faults. Look past someone's faults. Look past the boo-boos, the mess-ups, and all of that stuff. And we need to start speaking to their gifts and abilities. All right. It is easy to criticize and point out everybody's faults. Okay? Have you ever sat in an airport? Like, that was a stupid outfit. I can't believe they wore that. Did you see that? Your sneakers, man. Okay? Okay. So I'm working on this, right? I'm going to look at my notes for a second, all right? Praise God. Okay, so, yes. So we need to look past people's faults, what you think of their faults, and we need to start speaking to their abilities and gifts, okay? And you can do that with your kids. If you supervise people at your office, you can do that with them. You can do it with relatives. You can do it with anybody. Look past and start looking for their gifts and abilities. So, long time ago, when Jack and I were in Tulsa, the first 2 years Jack was going to school, Bible school, because I said, I am never going to school again. That's dumb. Okay. The third year, I decided I need to go to school. Okay. So the first 2 years, I am teaching at a Christian school. There are between 200 and 300 students. And I taught second grade, and my neighbor, Valerie, taught the third grade. And she had this kid in her class that was constantly in trouble. He was breaking the rules constantly. And I heard her one day, and I'm going to change the names, Sammy, that's it. Go to the principal's office. This kid, Sammy, was forever going down to the principal's office because he was breaking rules. So my kids must have been in music or something like that. So I left my classroom because my kids weren't there, and I walked past the principal's office because I was really going to drop something off at the secretary's, and I was like, huh? Here's this principal with Sammy, and they are cutting up, laughing, eating Oreos. I was like, wait a minute. Miss Val just kicked Sammy out of the class because he broke the rules and he's just not following anything. So I was like, okay. So keep on, Pastor D, stay with it. So later on in the day, I deliberately run into the principals, and I go, hey, and we're all friends. I said, and I should have called them Principal So-and-so, but I went, hey, I said, what's with it? I walk by your room, and you got Sammy in there, and you're laughing, and you're eating Oreos. And he said something I'd never heard before. He says, I coached him up. I go, what? I coached him up. He says, there's gifts of leadership in Sammy. And right now, he's a dumb third grader. He thinks every rule is dumb, and he's dodging them. He says, but I've watched Sammy. There's a gift of leadership. I coached him up. So I've watched Pastor Sherry do this with kids downstairs, all right? Coached him up. Just said, I see this, you know, really, truly, not making it up, but I see this gift in them. I see these abilities in them, and you know, start saying, hey, you know, we used to say, you're a mighty man of God in the making t-shirt, okay? But, you know, I see leadership, and I see this compassion that you have. I see that every time you get around somebody, you're always pulling somebody up beside you. Speak that. So parents, it is easy to criticize them for everything they do, but why don't you sit there and figure out, pray. You really have to pray. And all four of my kids have different gifts and abilities. Thank God. I remember saying that. Thank God. One of them is enough, all right? But pray. You know, start watching them, okay? And watch them when they're getting in trouble or whatever. And watch their actions with other people and say, Lord, reveal to me, I'm the parent, reveal to me their gifts, their abilities, all right? And then coach them up and say, you know, hey, you know, I know you just beat your sister up, but I can tell you're a good leader. I don't know. I'm being silly, okay? But really, parents, that's something you really need to do. Amen. Now, you do not ignore discipline. They do not get a free card just because they're breaking the rules, okay? So somewhere in between breaking the rules, remind them that the special gift in them, their special, or the kindness they showed, you just keep reminding them, okay? Amen. Good. Parenting. All right. Okay, praise the Lord. Oh, okay, so positive. Those are all things. How about, what do I do with this? So I'm going to give you some action steps. Like, what do I do this? Action steps. Okay, two really simple. We'll go through them fast. Here, number one, think before you talk. Think before you, real simple, right? Okay, think before you talk. So we were living on West King Street. We live side by side the Ryans. And we had this big old station wagon. I must have been out, probably only had Sherry and Jesse then. I must have been out shopping, and I come home, and we would park in the back alley, pull up on West King Street. And I come up, and there's a crowd in my backyard. Yeah, my big backyard, all four chairs this way. And there's a crowd, and there's the motorcycle. Like, we don't have two nickels to rub together. And that man, a.k.a. Jack, my husband, went and bought a motorcycle. I'd never had a conversation with this. There were never pictures laying around. He got good at doing that. That was really cute. Slick. That's slick. You start leaving this. Yeah. So I'm in the car. I pull up. And I just walk past Jack, the people, and I go in the house and slam the door. Okay. Be slow to talk. I actually went upstairs to my bedroom. Okay. So the real good part about this is I didn't know how good I was dealing with the Word of God. But listen, I went up there in the bedroom, and I said, Lord, I am boiling over. I'm sure they could see it. Nobody dared talk to me as I walked past them, all right? And I said, Lord, I am really boiling over about this. And this can happen with what your kid does, what a coworker does, what an employee, you know, anybody does. And you are in that boiling over, all right? So think before you talk and go pray, all right? Amen. Good advice, Pastor D. Hallelujah, all right? Because being angry never goes out good, right? Anybody? Oh. I have done angry. My kids will tell you, "What are you, stupid?" Wah! My famous quote. Okay, good scripture. Let's get back on the Word of God, Pastor D. James chapter 1. Focus, Pastor D. James chapter 1. Now, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak. I really think he should have reversed it. Everybody should be slow to speak and quick to hear. But anyway, okay? And slow to anger, for man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God. I'm telling you, if I would have opened my mouth, I'd still be repenting. I was there, okay? But I got a little bit smart, so think before you talk, all right? Here's my last one. Here we go. Because listen, we don't want to be mayhem, all right? Here's my last one. Number two, ask for help. Ask for help. That's an action step, okay? Psalm 141. Psalm 141 is actually a prayer, okay? And I just cut out part of it. Psalm 141, verse 3. Lord, set a guard, Lord, over my mouth. Zip it, okay? Keep watch over the doors of my lips, all right? So really all I'm saying, hey, probably every morning you should all say this, Lord, help me that my words are not tearing people down, negative, worthless words. Lord, help me to zip it. Help me, Lord, to speak words that bring life to people, whatever the situation is. Lord, help me, okay? Everybody say help. The help prayer. Help prayer is really good. It really works, okay? So, one more thing. I can do this. We got this. So I finally became a grandma. Cash is like 6.5 years old, and my dear friend said to me after I was, ta-da, grandma, she goes, you have one major job. I was like, yeah, I got grandkids, this is great. She said, you have one major job. You are to have words of affirmation. That's your only big job, words of affirmation. And I said, don't I do correcting? She goes, oh no, that's the parent's job. Your major job, one major job, is to have words of affirmation for those grandkids. So, you know, you're like, oh, you are the best little boy, and you are the smartest little girl, and you are so kind, and you are this, and you are that, whenever you get around them. Now, sometimes you're like, man, they've been, what do we say, a ringtail tutor all day? Woo! But I'm going to find something where you are giving them words of affirmation, and you are actually the Word of God washing in them and building them up, right? Mighty kids upon the earth, amen. So words of affirmation, praise the Lord. Hey, you excited that you learned something today? Yeah, are you excited that you can tame this mouth? Yeah, are you excited that your words are going to minister life? Yeah, how about we go, yeah, I am excited. amen. All right, Lord, thank you. So can I pray for y'all? Just close your eyes, bow your heads. Just, all right. Listen, guys, I have had a few struggles in a lot of this area. So this is our prayer. Lord, help us speak life. Father, I pray that you would help us speak life. Help us and take us to the next level. So many of you know this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. But Lord, help us speak life and take it to the next level. And Lord, point out those things in our life that we just need a little correcting. Lord, remind us that we can tame the tongue with your help and with your word. Okay, now everybody just have your own private conversations with the Lord about some areas maybe. Affirmation, negative, poison words, okay? Just have your conversation with the Lord. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed and nobody's just looking around, just, yep, I know, Lord, you're messing with my business. I know. I need your help in that area, Lord. So I do have one more really important thing. If you're here today, and you all just keep your eyes down, heads down, okay? And you don't know about where your forever is. How many of you know where your forever is? Yeah, it's with the Lord forever, okay? But if you're here and you don't know where your forever is, can I just take a moment and tell you that Jesus provided the way for you to forever be a child of God. The Father sent the Son, Jesus, to die for your sins and my sins, the sins of the world. And he said, whoever calls on the name of Jesus and said, Jesus, come into my life, he will make you a child of God forever. So if you're here and you don't know you're forever and you say, oh yeah, Pastor D, that's me, but I'd like to. Okay, I'd like to pray with you. Matter of fact, we're all going to pray this together, all right? And it's you know, the Bible is pretty simple. It's not complicated, okay? And we're simply going to speak some words, because words is the way God said it. So everybody say, Father God, I come to you. I know I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. Thank you for sending your Son to die on a cross, to take my sins, my punishment off of me, and giving me life. So Jesus, I look to you, and I thank you that you are the Savior of the world, and I ask you to come into my life, be my Savior now, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can look at me. So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, a miracle took place. You may not be teary-eyed and goosebumps or anything like that, but the Bible says whoever calls the name of the Lord would be saved, and he makes you a new creature on the inside. All your sins are washed away. He gives you a robe of righteousness. You're holy and beautiful and blameless, and if that wasn't good enough, he says you're a part of my family forever. All right? So and then also it says that all of heaven celebrates. All right? So if you prayed that prayer for the first time, in a moment I'm going to dismiss, but if you would come up, I've got some altar ministers. Come on up front. We want to give you a Bible, because the Word of God will tell you who you are and who your Father is and all the great things that He has for you. They're going to give you a little booklet on where do I start in this book, okay? Also, if you need any other prayer, we are going to stand with you. We're going to speak God's Word, all right? So stand up. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that these are your people. They are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They're blessed coming in, and Father, they are charged up and blessed going out. Their words are word changers. In Jesus' name, amen. Have